please turn to hymn number 81. This morning we're going to focus on some morning hymns, and we're going to start with number 81, which is a text that's attributed to Ambrose of Milan. If you look up in the upper corner, you can see when he died, 397. That was an important century for Christianity, the 300s, because that's when there were some pretty serious discussions about who Jesus was and who God is. And Ambrose, we like to think, was on the good side. He defended the doctrine of the Trinity, and he also defended the eternity of Christ. Now, he was we have a lot of hymn texts attributed to him. We're not sure how many he actually wrote. He used Latin hymns, Latin poems. They didn't rhyme. They were metrically predictable, but they didn't rhyme. So he is sometimes called the father of Latin hymnody, and was treasured through the years. A number of his hymns were translated into German by Martin Luther and in his spare time. And we're going to look at, we're going to sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Remembering while we sing this morning hymn that when God created the world, he created evening and morning. He also created a week. Do you ever wonder why we have Sunday, Monday, etc., etc., etc.? Well, that's a gift of God. Luther talks especially about the Sabbath day, the day of rest, being a sign of God's grace, that there was that time of rest, even in paradise, because we don't know how long that lasted. We also know that evening and morning existed in paradise, because evening, when it was dark, that was a chance for God to display his glory in the heavens, right? Amazing. So we celebrate the morning, and we remember the morning as a reflection of God's creation, of a new day of grace for all of us. Every day the sun shines, and yesterday is gone, and it takes with it everything that it had. We don't let it go, but the universe reminds us that we should, and because God planned it that way. And the other thing is it reminds us, of course, of Christ's resurrection, and also his return in glory when that wonderful morning of eternity will break. So let's stand and sing 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Turn next to hymn number 46. At the beginning of Luke's gospel, we have some amazing stories about what happened at the time of Christ's conception and what happened with the relatives when they were having a baby and things like that. This is a paraphrase of a text by Zechariah. And if you don't know that story yet, you can look it up in the beginning of Luke and read it. It's very interesting. He was old, his wife was old, and an angel came to him and said, surprise. And he was credulous. We've had this before, haven't we? In the Old Testament, we have examples like that. And so he lost his speaking voice, and when the child was born, then he wrote down that his name should be John. And everybody in the house went, well, you can't name him that. You don't have any Johns in your family. To find out if people are listening. But he did then. He was able to speak, and he created this wonderful hymn. We call it the Benedictus. And it speaks of God being faithful to all of his Old Testament promises. And it points to their new son, whose name will be John, is going to be the great prophet, the last of the prophets. He's going to be the one to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, who was also his cousin. Yes, interesting. Painters love that. Talked over and about it in the Renaissance. There's always the two little boys playing out there, and baby John is pointing at Jesus, and little baby Jesus is carrying a cross. It's true. And these are very beautiful things. So, and this one was used as a mourning hymn throughout the earliest days of the church's history. When monasticism started to materialize, which it did pretty quickly, in some ways, John the Baptist was sort of the first Christian monk, they observed the times of the day. And this hymn was always the one that was closely associated to the sunrise. In Luther's day, this was usually sung as an opening hymn at the very beginning of every service, especially if there were people there that could sing it in Latin. The choirs would sing the Benedictus of Zechariah as the very first thing in the morning service. We are not going to sing the whole thing. It's a beautiful text. We're going to do stanza 1, and then we're going to do stanza 4. So would you please stand for these, 1 and 4. Be seated, please. And we're going to turn next to hymn number 75. In the Nicene Creed, we confess this phrase, by whom all things were made. And when we make that confession on many Sunday mornings, by whom all things were made, we are speaking of Christ. The way it falls in English, a lot of times it sounds like it's the Father, but it's not. It's Christ. Christ is the great creator. He's the one who called light into being. That's at the front end of the Bible, right? At the tail end of the Bible, if you've got a red letter edition with Jesus' words in red, the last little part, not the final one, but the last, second to the last thing that's recorded in the book of Revelation is when Jesus refers to himself as the bright and morning star. And that, of course, is a beautiful reference back to the dawn of creation. Now, this particular hymn, hymn 75, builds on that image, also builds on the image of the morning and all it brings with it, resurrection and new beginnings and looking forward to the return of Christ. And this is a hymn that was written, you see, it's not, now we're not in the 4th century anymore, or the 1st century. Now we're up in the 17th century. And this fellow, Van Rosenroth, that's a good last name. Marry someone with that last name, because it'll look great on a credit card. He was a Lutheran pastor, and in those days, Lutherans were open to lots of other ideas. The Lutheran Church had, I think, an enormous optimism about what the future could hold. All knowledge came from God. All truth came from God. And so we have a lot of theologians that dabbled in things that we don't find so savory today, like astrology and Jewish Kabbalah and stuff. He was one of those. They called them hermetics, and there were many of them. But basically what that meant is that they had a view of the world that was much larger than just what we see. There are far greater things in heaven and on earth, right? That's from somebody's play somewhere. I think it's from The Sound of Music. And they were aware of that, and so they felt they were obligated to explore that. Of course, that's why we're here, isn't it, too? We're obligated to explore these things. Somebody at Bethany someday is going to uncover a rock that's never been uncovered before. Truly. And this is a wonderful thing, because this is also reflection of God, the creator of light. And this is a beautiful melody. It comes to us from the city of Halle, which was a center of the movement called Lutheran Pietism. Very, very interesting. It's a very powerful movement in the church even today. I would like, before we stand, let's do stanzas 1 and 2. And morning dew. See, that's another thing about the morning. Even if it doesn't rain, you wake up in the morning, and a lot of times there's beautiful moisture out there on the grass. New life. And now as we look at stanza 3, and this is something that's typical of the Pietists especially. They saw themselves in a prophetic place, and they wanted faith to not just be a head thing. It had to be a heart thing. It's one thing to confess the Nicene Creed. It's another thing to stand up and do something that shows you have faith. This was what made them such a powerful movement for a time, and still today. So here we ask that may thy fervent love destroy our cold works. Wake us up, wake us up. And that's what we do in the morning too, right? Provided you got to sleep last night. And then stanza four turns us a reminder to Christ's ascension and that he is going to return in glory on that wonderful morning. And then finally, in our own death, as darkness surrounds us or seems to surround us, we know that we have the passage to our own eternal morning. So let's stand up and do 3, 4, and 5 with fervency. Now, in conclusion, please turn to page 108. Page 108 is a very, very simple and abbreviated form of one of the monastic offices. We called it prime. This was when prime was done, when the sun was just shedding forth its first purple rays. And in the second column, we have a collect there that starts with, O Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to close with that. That text came to us from a book that was published under the auspices of Queen Elizabeth I. Queen Elizabeth I, all right? You've seen pictures of her, certainly. She had red hair and many other things. But she did oversee the publication of this book that was called Private Prayers. Private Prayers and a Spiritual Primer. And that's where this text comes from. I think it predates Elizabeth. Her father, Henry VIII, also had a devotional private prayer primer that he published. And I think this prayer actually is older even than that. And I think it is a prayer that was written in English well before the Reformation. It's short, it's pithy, and it brings everything that we've talked about and sung about this morning to a conclusion. So may God grant you a good morning. And let us close with prayer.